Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you guys for joining us here on Harvest Black Church and Harvest Black Studio. We are down in our studio this afternoon. Somebody's Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan. I'm going to kind of catch some of the reverb.
That's what makes sure we got him in the studio. Elder Kerry Williams, are you there with us? Pull some of this information back here. Make sure we get the sound down. Give us just a second. We're going to pull this and leave something out here. We're getting some reverb on the system here. We're going to make sure we're out of there. Hold on here just a minute here. Get this. With these phones, sometimes we get these problems coming into the studio. Elder Kerry Williams, there we go. Are you there with us on this afternoon?
Yes, sir.
We can catch a little reverb there. We got some, had a little system difficulties, but I want to let you guys know once again, we got Elder Kerry Williams going to be with us on this afternoon. He's going to bring forth the word here at Harvest and Light Church. The number to call in for you guys to call into the studio is going to be area code 516-387-1220. That'll get you in the studio. And if there's any questions you have to ask during the course of the show or after the show, well, let's say after the show, I think it's proper to say that. That won't want to interfere with anything that he's doing until after the show. That's the number you want to call in. You want to push the number 1 on your phone. That'll get you into the studio after this man of God comes forth with the word he has to bring us on today. Elder Kerry Williams, it's in your hands.
Amen. Pastor Ellis, tonight we want to welcome you to the Tuesday Night Testimonial Live broadcast, and we have a great word for tonight. I'd like to thank everyone who's with us tonight, especially those from the House of Greater Feet, Church of God in Christ in Bastion, and those of my own family, and we're going to get right to the word. I have quite a bit of information to share with you tonight, so I'm going to move rather quickly. I will be giving quite a few scripture out, and if you got any questions you need to clarify on them, just please ask once we're finished. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight we thank you for these hearts, these minds that have tuned in tonight to receive of your grace, to receive of the breaking of the bread of life, Lord. We ask that you bless each and every one of the sound of our voice tonight, Lord. Give us clarity, give us strength, Lord. Give us wisdom. We thank you for these and all the blessings in your Son Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be talking to you from the subject of attacking and destroying strongholds. Again, it's attacking and destroying demonic strongholds. Amen. I'm sure everyone is aware of everything that's going on around us, in particular in this country today. Seems like mankind has lost every bit of sense and every peace of mind that he once had. Amen. But saints of God, I need to let you know, do not be dismayed, do not be afraid, do not be scared. If you know the love of God, if you understand that we are wrapped up in the midst of a spiritual battle, then you'll begin to understand how God would operate in you and through you and for you, and how that you can actually tie in to learn and apply the same things that God has given us to do. Amen. Again, we're learning to attack and destroy strongholds. First of all, we've got to understand that in our lives, in your life, there are three areas of demonic strongholds. Amen. Three areas of demonic strongholds. You've got to understand that the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And last week we were talking about knowing our position. God created us way over back in the book of Genesis. When he created man, he said that he gave us a charge. He created us with a position of dominion, a position of authority. He told Adam to subdue the earth, keep it, to dress it and keep it. He gave us a position of dominion. And with that position of dominion, he also provided us, when Jesus left and he told the disciples that he was going to give us the power from on high, he was going to send us the power of the Holy Ghost, that meant that he gave each and every one of you who's a reborn, regenerated, spirit-filled believer of God in Jesus Christ, the same power that God used to raise Jesus from dead. Jesus delegated that same power to you and I. Now, there are three areas in particular of demonic stronghold, and we all struggle with these throughout our lives. The first and foremost one is your individual thought life. You understand that the enemy has to come in under, try and come in underneath the power of God, and he understands, and even he knows, that if he can control your mindset, if he can possess your thought life, then he can get everything else to follow into place. But beloved, Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, and rulers of darkness of this world." And we've got to understand what that means, is that when Adam committed treason in the beginning, see, Adam was created to be the God of this world. But when he sinned against God, he created treason against God, and he gave his spiritual authority to the devil. That's why you read the Bible says that Satan is the God, small g, of this world. And Satan is organized just like God. As Jesus said, at any time, he could call up to God, and God would send him legions of angels and many, many angels. But Satan is organized himself. He has hierarchy. He has ranks. He has legions. He has different dominions and minions. And the very scripture speaks to us, and it lets us know that, again, we must remember that since God is a spirit, we must worship him in spirit and in truth, that means that we have to not only walk as according to God's spirit, but we have to operate as according to God's spirit. We're in the midst of a spiritual battle for our very lives and our souls. That means also that God has given us the means spiritually to fight and to win this battle against Satan. Satan is also a spirit. Now, again, that's Ephesians 6 and 12. The second place where Satan attacks us at is through ideologies and philosophical means. In other words, again, that's through our mindset. That's why you see the rise of different things, just vices such as communism and atheism, and even the radical ideology of Islam and things like that. All of Islam, not everyone that is Muslim is not a terrorist. Everyone is Muslim does not hate you and want to kill you. Muslim itself is another ideology, and I'm not saying that it's 100% how you would say correct or whatever, but what I'm saying is that it comes by way of another ideology, and it gets into the minds and then the hearts of men. But Satan attacks us through all of these different things. You see the rise of racism in this country. Seems like racism has really hit all over again. A lot of people may have thought, allow themselves to be deceived into thinking that racism was dead and buried. But no, racism hasn't gone anywhere because the devil hasn't gone anywhere. We've got to understand that. The third one is political and geographical. All of these things you see that are taking place in other parts of the world, extreme hunger and poverty, all of the dictatorships, all the things like that, which, by the way, actually serves to let you know that the only form of governorship that's ever going to be right in this world is theocracy. We have men fighting wars over the right to have democracy and the right to have socialistic governments and socialist governments and the right to have communist governments. But the only true form of government is a theocracy. It's not even democracy. Theocracy simply means that God is at the head and the top, and he governs. The Bible says that God is sovereign. That means he reigns sovereign. He reigns supreme. He has all the power. He created all of this. He created all of us. He rules it. It's just like the fact that anyone, say if you're an inventor and you create a specific item, well, you being the creator of that item, you have all the rule over it. You know how it works. You created it to work a certain way. You programmed it a certain way. You have all rights to that. You have all the power over that particular item. It's the same with God. The Bible says that God, the whole world, the world that they're in, belong to God. And we've got to understand that first. That's not just ideology. That's truth. That's spiritual truth that translates in the physical truth. Amen. Now, this is where we want to get into the meat at. That same scripture in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 through 5 is, it becomes a popular scripture, but we got to understand that is literally gives us the formula and the tools that God has provided for us to fight this spiritual battle. Beloved, your war is not against people. It's not with flesh and blood, and there's a rule that we practice in the church, and it's simply this. Love the person, hate the sin. God, being the God of love, the Bible says over in 1 John that God is love and that we are children of the love. God cannot lie. He will not lie. It's impossible for him to lie. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he places his word above his name. So the same God of love that commands you to love even your enemies is not going to be the same God who tells you to come up with schisms and schemes to kill and destroy your enemy. No, the Bible says that the devil's job, the devil's desire is to steal, kill, and destroy you. Once we understand these spiritual truths, then we can go ahead and we can operate where God intends us to operate, and you will definitely come to know victory in your life over the enemy, because that's what we're designed for. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought through the obedience of Christ. The Bible also says that Christ thought it not a robbery to be equal with God. We understand that your mindset in this walk goes hand in hand with your spirit. God needs to rule and control and possess your spirit. Your spirit, in turn, possesses and controls your mindset, your intellect. Your intellect will then control what comes out of your mouth. And listen, saints, once we begin to learn to place the word of God into our spirits, then it works to transform us from the inside out. so that when you get to what you need, then you speak the things and the vocals of God, and that's what manifests itself into improving your life. And, beloved, I'm here to tell you now from experience, I'm not speaking from a glass tower. It took me years to actually understand and learn the spiritual truth that was in front of me, that was coming into me the whole time. We have to learn actually to place all of our focus on what God is saying. The word would the world would deceive you into believing that this book of the Bible, these words that are living, that are alive. The Bible says that the word of God is quick, sharper than a two-edged sword, so that it cuts asunder to the marrow and bone, to the very heart of man. This is where God decides to operate. This is what God needs us to be one with him in spirit and in truth. So this scripture right here says that the word of God, that through the weapons that God has provided for us, actually tear down these spiritual strongholds, and that it casts down everything that would exalt itself. Remember, Sam was following the devil way back in the beginning when he decided to exalt his throne above God's. The devil, God loves you, but the devil does not, because the devil knows that God created you for his purpose. The devil hates you because he knows that God loves you. And God is desiring to use every last one of you to defeat him right here on this earth. Again, that was 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 through 5. I'm kind of moving a little fast. I'm kind of paraphrasing so we can get to the questions and the comments later on. Now, I'm going to give you 8 tools. 8 of these tools, these spiritual tools that God provided for us to overcome all of these demonic strongholds in your life. And believe me, none of us is exempt. Not the preacher. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what your name is. I don't care how anointed you are. You are not exempt from any of these attacks, because the enemy is organized. You cannot defeat the enemy in your own strength. You cannot defeat the enemy with your own mindset. You cannot defeat the enemy with your thoughts. However, you can defeat him the word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the spirit of God. Now, the first tool at our disposal is just that, the word of God itself. Hebrews 4 and 12 gives us the formula. And it says, as soon as I get to it, Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us that the word of God, I'm reading from the King James Version now, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, the word of God is alive. The word of God, the Bible says, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, because it pierces even to the division of soul and spirit. And the best thing about the word of God, it says here, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, remember, Jesus said something very, very important. And a lot of times we have to understand and refer to the scriptures. Jesus said that it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of the man that defiles him, because the things that come out of your mouth come from your heart. So when you speak things, if you speak anything other than the word of God, anything that's not in line with the word of God, then you're speaking things that have been sanctioned by the enemy. He said, these are the things that proceed from the heart. He said, murderers, evils, lies, heresies, and the like. We got to understand our position in God. Our position is a position of authority. I don't know about anybody else tonight, but I'm a child of the King. And being a child of the King, I have the authority to speak the word of the King. The Bible says the heart of the King is in the Lord's hands. So your battle starts right there with the word of God. That's the first point, the word of God. The second point, James told us in chapter 4 through 7, at the end of all, he told us to resist the devil, and he will flee for you. I remember learning so many years ago, one of the most important things that I can allow to come out of my mouth, and I still practice it every time I need to, whenever the devil's attacking me. Every day, as a matter of fact, I get up, I make it part of my routine just to speak to the devil. Just like God tells us to speak his word and to speak to him, you can talk to the devil with authority and tell him. And the Bible says, James said, he has to flee from you, resist him. And one of the most important things I learned to say a long time ago, simply this, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I plead the blood of Jesus against you. That's another point we're going to get to. Now, we got one, the word of God. We got two, resist the devil. Number three, he said to neither give the devil place. In the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 27th verse, he says that. In verse 26, he was telling us to have thine anger. Have your anger. It's okay to get mad. He said, have your anger and sin not. And then he followed all it up with, neither give place to the devil. In other words, when you're able to recognize the attack for what it is and who it's coming from, don't give place. Stand your ground. The next one, in Philippians 2:5-11, it tells us plainly that the name of Jesus is another tool that we have to use against the enemy. It says, for there was no other name given under the heavens by which man may be saved or salvation may be obtained other than the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get into things and we find ourselves in situations, and all you can do, all you may feel have time to do, is call or speak the name Jesus. Beloved, that's well within your right and that's in your authority. The devil cannot touch the name of Jesus. We all know the next one. We're familiar with the next one, Hebrews 10:19. And this is point number 5. Again, I'm moving this on pretty quick because we want to get to the questions. But Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, in verse 20 says, by new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. But what we're talking about, what we're concentrating on, is the blood of Jesus. Again, Satan cannot come underneath the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus washes us clean. The blood of Jesus protects us. The blood of Jesus covers us even when we would decide to do wrong. We have to understand that the enemy cannot touch the blood of Jesus. The next one, number 6, is thanksgiving, praise, and worship. The entire division of Psalms 139, I love this Psalms. I'm just going to read some of it. But Psalms 139 tells us, 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints. I'm going to skip down to verse 3. He said, let them praise his name with a dance. Let them sing praises to him with a trembling heart. And this is the part I like. Verse 4 says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. verse 6, that the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, you really want to talk about a powerful weapon against God. If you remember correctly, when Israel was faced against attack, back in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, I love that story. The king called a corporate fast. And when God spoke to them, again, a lot of these scriptures you've heard many times before, but we got to understand the power that God has given us in these very scriptures. They are not to be taken lightly. They are to be taken very literal. They are to be applied. But God spoke to them through the young prophet and said, you need not to fight in this battle. He said, set yourself to you need to fight in this battle because the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And we know the story. When they got together, the enemies, God confounded the enemies so tough that they actually took each other out. And when Israel went in to collect the spoils, the Bible says the first thing that he did was he sent Judah first, amen. In other words, he sent the praises out first. When you start your day off and you go through your day and you continue on in your day with praise, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Praise is a very powerful and valuable weapon. So you give God thanks and you praise and you worship him. Point number seven is prayer. We all know the scripture in the book of James 5:16. It says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Paul said men ought to always pray. You got to understand. And let me tell you something. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you that you have to have any magical formula. You got to jump through any hoops, roll under any pews or things like that to pray. No, prayer is simply communicating with God. It's as simple as riding down the street and having a conversation with God even in your car. But prayer is so important because we have to communicate with God and we have to let God know every concern, every fear. We have to let God know everything that concerns us. The Bible tells us that we ought to always take it to God in prayer. We're supposed to be able to go boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain whatever we need, whether it be wisdom, whether it be strength, whether it be guidance, direction. God has everything that we need. And he's willing to bless us with it. And see, the thing is, saints, God doesn't get any glory out of you being weak. God doesn't get any glory out of us being pitiful. God doesn't get any glory out of us being defeated. God gets glory out of blessing us, and God gets glory out of us having victory in our lives. The last one and the most important one that God has given us is the power of the Holy Ghost. Zechariah 4:6, Acts 1:8, Ephesians 3:20. There's so many scriptures that demonstrate to us and give us the example and the vision to seek the power, to operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. We've got to understand again that all of this is for our good. And I'm keeping this short. I apologize again. I want to hurry up and get through this tonight because I want to get the lines open. But I'm going to give you those 8 points again. We got the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. We have to resist the devil, James 4:4-7. Neither give place to the devil, Ephesians 4:27. We have the name of Jesus, that's Philippians 2:5-11, and Acts 4:12. we've got the blood of Jesus, Hebrews 10:19. We've got thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Psalms 149:3-9, most of the Psalms are dedicated to that. We have effectual prayer and prayer, which is James 5:16, and we have the power of the Holy Ghost, Zechariah 4:6, Acts 1:8, and Ephesians 3:20. Again, these are your tools that God has provided for you to attack and destroy these strongholds. Where none of us is exempt from these strongholds and attack, but we are responsible for standing up in the power that God has given us and defeating them. God bless you. Now, Pastor Ellis, we can go to the lines.
Amen. Amen, man. God, for those who have questions, you called into the studio, you heard a powerful word come from this man of God. I want to make sure for those who call into the studio can actually access the process of getting the information to this man of God, whatever it is you got out of study on tonight. It truly was an interesting study. The number to call in is 516-387-1220. Now, the reason you can access the studio is you just push the number 1 on your phone, and that'll get you right into the studio. Interesting topic that he brought tonight. Especially when he's talking about the area of dominion, which I like to think that's one of my specialities. You know, I teach kingdom. And you talk about what does Pastor Ellis do? He teaches kingdom. You know, you want to know about the kingdom? You got a certain person who teaches faith, teaches authority, healing. Then you go to those particular people. You know, that's what I do. I teach kingdom work. You know, my good friend J.C. Matthews was always on board with me, and this is what I do. So, once again, for those who want to call in and have any questions for this man of God on tonight, can do so. And number once again, that's actually 516 area code. That's 387-1220. And that'll get you right into the studio as you push your little number 1. I call it your tattletale button. They'll see you come up in the studio, and they'll get you hooked right into this word of God that he brought, and this word that came from the kingdom of God on tonight. As always, you know, I'm always going to sneak things in, and he talked about the process of dealing with the kingdom, and I tell you, when he talks about doing the kingdom work, this is some of the areas I like to say I'm specialized in, and talking about the process of dealing with the kingdom. You know, the word talks about over there, and you talked about how God granted dominion, and when you talk about the granting of dominion, can you give us a little bit detail? When God said dominion, he gave us dominion. Can you give us a little bit of detail on that power in terms of what God said when he said he gave us dominion?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God created man in the beginning book of Genesis. So God gave Adam a charge. He told him to earth. He told him to dress it and to keep it. So when God gave Adam that man, God was giving Adam the authority right here on earth to take care of everything that he needed. Not only to take care of everything that he needed, to take care of everything that God wanted to. God, see, God doesn't give us anything that he doesn't expect us to take care of. We got to understand that we are part of that inheritance. Amen. And in particular, when it comes to the house of Israel, that God chose. The Bible says that God has grafted us into his family, into his kingdom. And I love the fact that, you know, Pastor Ellis, you talked about kingdom. Well, we are God's representatives of the kingdom on earth. And with that kingdom comes power, with that kingdom comes the meaning. It comes with authority.
Amen.
You have the authority to stand against sickness. You have the authority to stand against the spirits of wickedness in the highest places. This whole thing that's going on right now concerning the politics, you know, everybody's up here about political tensions and everything. And all I'm trying to tell you is this. It doesn't matter who's president. Because Jesus is still here.
Amen. Amen. And you got a caller coming in also here, Carol, to carry in just a minute. Okay, you got a caller. You got a caller from a 989-673. As Elder Carey continue to go ahead with his conversation, you got a 989-673. We're gonna push you into the studio here. He's finishing up on some conversation that he was just on. We're gonna let him continue that out. But we got 989-637 in the studio with you, Carey.
Hi, Andrew. I'm back next week here, Elder Carey from Ephesians. But I was letting you know that I have been under attack for this past year, and I've been battling back and forth with it.
Hmm.
And it seems like I'm getting stronger and stronger, and I am familiar with the tools that he has presented. And but now I have script to back it up, and that's what I'll be doing this week.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah, this is the person who needed, you know, how to read the Bible and get more strength and spiritual strength and with the scriptures.
Amen, amen.
Yes.
You know, Sister Sandra, it's not our position or anyone's position to feed your opinion. But see, we got to understand that the enemy is already defeated. But we have to have the faith and use and apply these tools so that we manifest the body. As a matter of fact, as a rule of thumb, you know, we say and teach all the time that Jesus Christ has already been here and died to give us this power. Amen. And God doesn't get things done on earth right now. He gets them done on earth right now through the hands of men. That means through you, by you operating in his spirit. And as long as you continue to learn and to feed on these particular tools and employ them every day, you'll get stronger and stronger. God bless you.
Amen. She, when she was saying that, you know, that which the top got, you know, I heard you say earlier in the show tonight, you said about how the Word of God says, and you read it in the increments, he said, resist. Now, if you really catch it real careful, this is why when you read the Word of God, you read it in increments, because you need to understand what he's saying. Now, I heard the man of God, Elder Carey Williams, say, if you resist, he didn't say if, he said resist. He said if resist. He said resist the devil. And he said he will flee. He didn't say he might flee. He said he will flee. And we talk about that process, as a woman of God just said, you know, what are the things in my life as I've gained more understanding about the Word of God? What is it I need to resist? The rules and regulations of what the man God talked about in terms of dominion. Supremacy has been given to her, according to Genesis 1 and 26. It was a declaration granted men and women to have dominion over the earth, every creature. It was granted to them. It's commonly referred as a mandate, a dominion mandate. To discover the laws of dominion, you know, you got to understand and exercise, you know, your sovereignty. Sovereignty comes according to Romans 4 and 17. Speak the words, declare the words, and the enemy has got to flee. This is James 4 and 7. You don't question the devil. You resist them. And by you resisting them, the bewildering of the power of the governing of the Holy Spirit intervenes and fights on your behalf. That's why he said we don't fight against flesh and blood. Ephesians tells us that. Because you have been given a mandate to have exercise and authority over the devil, every demonic spirit. He gave you territory. That's what he means by dominion, according to Genesis 1 and 26. It's a declaration that's been given to you already. So as she begins to learn the Word of God more, you know, she's learning that the labor of wisdom or the law of wisdom is very important in the life. As she begins to fight and learn more about the Word of God, resist first temptations. That's another thing that comes at us every day. We all get tempted every day. That comes at us. Labored, you know, and be filled with the Holy Spirit, constantly in prayer. This is how we keep the enemy up off us. Staying in the confidentialities of the Holy Spirit. But back to what you were saying. Not for taking our course, that Genesis, Deuteronomy 29, you know, such a, you know, you talked about the dominion, the authority.
Amen.
What Adam got, if he didn't receive properly, in other words, he didn't take total authority over what he was given. I like to hear sometime, I hear some pastors say, well, he didn't take over the garden as he should have. Well, I mean, that's questionable, too. I mean, if God gave him sovereign authority, it was his.
That's right. And see, you know, God, the God that we serve, being the supreme being of authority, God does not give or ask requests. He doesn't ask requests, he gives commands. Because he understands his authority. He also knows the authority that he's given us. As a matter of fact, in same chapter, 6th chapter of Ephesians, that 13th verse, he commands us. He doesn't ask us. He commands us. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil
day.
And having done all, stand. See, that word withstand means against. It means to call to stand. It actually tells us to vigorously oppose Satan in the forces of evil.
Amen. A foundational law. Amen.
You know, authority commands authority. And we've got to understand that the Bible says that, you know, God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. Man's limitation is God's opportunity. Where you run out, he gives you authority, and you stand in that authority, and you exercise it, and then whatever that comes above your authority is there, God's already there to take care of it.
Yeah,
and
amen,
that's
how it is. Amen. If you understand the dominion, what this man of God is saying, and those who are listening, you know, that people say, well, who has dominion? Pastor Ellis? Elder Carey? Well, who all that was in Christ Jesus has been granted unto you. You know, the word of God declares that. It's been given to you to have that dominion, according to what he says in the word on Genesis 1 and 26. It was granted to you. But when you don't know how to exercise, it's like Elder Carey coming to me and saying, hey, Pastor Ellis, here's the keys to my car. He just granted me authority to be able to get in that car, drive it, and do whatever I want to do. Now, if he say, here's my car without giving me no keys, then I don't have total authority over it. He just said his word. But God gave you the keys. Because when I hear people say, God has given you the keys to the kingdom, they don't understand. That's giving you, granted you total supremacy authority, rules and regulations, foundational laws and regulations that go along with whatever God has given you, according to Genesis 1 and 26. Power is in your hand. No weapon, form, design, engineer, created, can come against you. Because he said, behold, Genesis 1 and 26 is really saying, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom.
Amen,
all
amen.
Authority, all
that's
dominion,
right.
Anything unfamiliar outside of what I declared can't come against you because it don't fall in the laws of the kingdom. But if I give you the keys, I know my kingdom. And if you're my son or you're my daughter, then you have these rules and regulations. In other words, your father is a king.
Amen.
King's
amen.
Children don't go without shoes. Let me be quiet.
As a matter of fact, you know, you hit on something right there. You know, the Chinese king wants your command to send a message. He delegated authority. He gave the authority to a particular messenger who wrote the orders out for him, and then the king had it sealed. The king had a wax seal that he would use it sealed. That's when you know something was official from the king or whatever he wanted to give authority. He would give someone a token of his, like a ring or something. That signified that the king had given his authority to carry out that particular task to that person he had delegated. It's the same thing with us being children of the king. God has given us the Bible as his authority here for us to use as our own authority. And the Bible lets us know that the covenant, that binding legal contract that God made with us was sealed by the blood of his one and only son.
Yeah, you got to read your contract.
That's right. We're not just a piece of junk. Yeah. The Bible says that you were wonderfully, fearfully created, wonderfully and fearfully made. The Bible says that you ought to be the head and not the tail, a lender and not a borrower. we've got to understand our position, as Pastor Charles like to say. Just like, you know, Pastor Charles like to use a sport analogy, just like those of you who played sports growing up, if you're on a basketball team or a football team or whatever the case may be, if you're on a basketball team, say you're the point guard of that particular team, you got five men on the floor, everybody has a specific job and a role to play. If you're the point guard, you're the one who's running the team, running the offense, and you're calling all the plays, you're distributing the ball. You got a power forward whose job is to go directly drive to the rim and create plays. You've got a center who controls the middle of the floor, mainly for defense and rebounding and things of that nature. But everyone has a role, but as long as you are a believer of God, as long as you have called on the name of Jesus, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name, the same shall be saved. That package of salvation has benefits, just like you go to your job with benefits. You get insurances, and you get certain paid vacation, things like that. Well, the package of salvation comes with many benefits. And the greatest one is authority to step over and defeat the devil.
Amen. Amen.
The package of salvation comes with the authority to speak the word of God, to walk in the spirit of God, to live the word of God, to apply the blood of the word of God, to apply the blood of Jesus, to apply the name of Jesus. But it signifies your dominion by way of God's kingdom right here on earth. We don't have to roll over and take anything. And beloved, I'm telling you, again, I'm not speaking from a glass tower. I'm learning yet to walk in the authority of God. I've been attacked so many ways, you know, with my body and everything. But
Lord,
I to the death. And you don't have to either.
Amen. Amen.
God has delegated his authority to his church, to his body, the body of Christ. God's called out and chosen people are what's called what we know to be the ecclesia, the called out of God.
Amen.
See, you learn the power that you have. I remember John Hagen, wrote a book years ago. It was one of the first ones I studied when I first entered my call to ministry. But he wrote a book called The Authority of Belief. And in that book, he pointed to the prayers of Paul in Ephesians and Galatians. Paul prayed that God would strengthen us with might in our, you know, by his spirit in our inner man. These are, again, the tools. These are the things that God has given us the authority to use to be victorious, right? Because whether you actually believe it or not, again, this is all warfare.
You know, Elder, I was you were speaking on that, you know, just in point, not only positioning, you know, sometimes in position you lose identity.
Exactly.
I mean, it can warp you. Spiritual principles of the kingdom of God. When we speak about the words of wisdom, we always read Proverbs. He said, "Get understanding," and he said, "And forget it not, neither decline the words of my mouth."
Exactly.
When he spoke to Solomon in the process of his David, his father dying, he said, "Because you have not requested riches and honor, but only that which is beneath or benefit all people." Now, notice how he says this. This is something really strong here that the man of God is speaking about. If you can get into it and let the Holy Ghost move on you, there's nothing wrong with having prosperity.
Exactly.
Nothing wrong with having riches. But I want you to hear me when I'm saying this. The word that came to Solomon, over in 1 Kings, you're reading 1 Kings, or I think 1 Kings 3, you know, on that 7, he said, "Because you have not requested riches in honor, but only that would benefit all people." Notice what he's saying. It's what you're asking him for, and what's going to help benefit someone else around you. Most of us receive things and ask God for things, but we don't ask with the right heart, and we ask amiss. When you understand how Solomon asked God for what he needed, He did it to benefit other people, not try to have vengeance on anybody. He said, because you requested riches and honor, only that will benefit all the people. I'll give you not only understanding, understanding the heart like none other before you, also riches and honor like none other before you in the days that you ever lived. When you understand and know how to ask God for the right thing and what you need it for, I believe God will open. This is where your dominion and your authority comes into play at. You need to know who you are and whose you are. Our mothers never gave us anything that didn't benefit everybody in the family.
That's right.
At least my mother didn't. I don't know. She never bought me something to get my brother and sister something else. You know, even with, I mean, I'm just speaking some truth here. We talk about Cain and Abel. It was the process of how the gift was given. It's sacrificial gifts, and then it's just gifts. Why did he get mad at his brother? I mean, that's a principle that what this man of God is speaking about in terms of how we receive things from God and how we have our mind as far as the mindset of pleasing God first. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What am I designed to do? Okay, he says the motto prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is. All the things that he designed for you to have is right here on earth. But you got to know the principle, rules, of how you need to know how to wait on God. And if you want to be a successful person to be able to maneuver in the kingdom, you need to know how to operate in all the areas of the kingdom. It don't make no sense for you being on a job 20 years and you're in the one position. It don't make no sense for you being in the kingdom of God or walking with the Lord and hadn't understood how God has given you supremacy authority. Matter of fact, he gave you life infinity. You need
Amen.
To know this. Rather than just read the word of God or read the 91 Psalms. And more. Well, why was the 91 Psalms invented? What is the reason for the 91 Psalms? What is the reason for Ephesians? What is the reason for Thessalonians? You need to sit down and study these things and understand why these things are taking place in your life. What is the reason? Once God takes you through a test, it's for you to learn from the test that now when the enemy comes again, you ain't going to keep on falling and bumping your head on the wall and complaining about the knots in your head. You learn from the things that you go through. And while you're learning through the things, you learn more about the principles of the kingdom and how you get around the kingdom.
I
go in different stores and I go in, and it's really a principle, Elder. When you go in a store and you're looking for a specific item, or you go to Myers or down in Saginaw, or I go to Kroger's or up here in Texas, when I go to a grocery store, I got to read the menu and tell me what object is down that aisle. And most of us don't do that. We roam the store and we look for somebody to ask, where's this product at, rather than reading the signs and telling us where it is. And then when we get down the aisle, we don't look like we need to look. And that's why we miss out on our blessings. The same thing now. We don't take the word, and we don't read it like we're supposed to. We look to the pastors and the leaders to tell us how we're supposed to live. And God said, that's your job. That's
Amen.
Your job
Amen.
To learn the kingdom. You got to know your way around. You got to know your position and your identity and authority as we give you. And most people don't know what's under their hood, just like when we get a new car. More people don't just stick the key in and start up, but they don't know what's up under the hood. They don't take time to go up. There's a red light or something on the dashboard. Come on, that's the only time we want to take it to the shop.
Amen.
I believe that.
You're right on point. And see, to add to that, we've got to understand that everything in this life involves an exchange of some sort. For instance, just like you were talking about, we go into mire. Once we do find what we want, there's an exchange that has to take place. We exchange money for whatever it is that we want to get. It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. When you come to God, you're letting God know that you're exchanging your will and everything you want for your life for his will and his place in your life. And then all of these things of his spirit can flood you and operate within you once you actually give in to the exchange. And I want to read a footnote real quick. For example, there's a footnote in my Bible, and it's talking about what James is talking about in this same fourth chapter, but it says the world, it's talking about the world and concerning growth, most specifically spiritual growth. And it says the spirit of the world is one of the perennial enemies of the believer because the world refers to the world system, to all the values and the mindset and philosophies of life. Remember I said that first that main stronghold starts in your mind.
Amen.
And priorities that run contrary to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
The world's your success requires you to turn away from godliness. And again, I told you, the men of the world, they, everybody wants, like, that's something I heard, I read in a lesson one time, it was 90 plus years old, he was sick, he was on his deathbed, he was a faithful man of God. And all of his family was around him crying and everything, and the men. And so he told them not to cry, but rejoice. And he said, he told them, he said, there's one thing I want y'all to do. Remember this before I go. He said, I'm happy. He said, I've been blessed. God has blessed and kept me. I'm finishing my course. He said, y'all need to understand something. He said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Mm.
Again, there's the things that have to take place. The change starts first in the spiritual and then translating to the natural. And when we understand that we are here to be friends with the world, because the Bible says to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. We're here to combat the evil in the world system. We're here to stand against it. So it says here, according to Mark 8:36 in Romans 11:2, says that God, you know, provides a strategy to combat the poor of the world through the renewal or reprogramming of our minds. The Holy Spirit is power, not just can, but will transform our mind and redirect us toward the things of God. That's Philippians 4:8. In order to gain victory over the devil, we have to resist him. And to gain victory over the world, we've got to renew our minds. That's what this whole lesson is talking about.
Amen, amen. Man of God, I tell you, we got a few more minutes on the line here with this man of God. For those who want to call in, have any questions, any at all. I see that we got some people still in the studio. And we got to see them to fade it off. But, you know, it was a good message, and it's a good word. The number to call in is 516-387-1220. If there's any questions that you have to ask concerning this service today, or what's going on in the service, it's a powerful service. You know, it's a powerful word, and I like to say a service because it's serving you, and it's going to help you to walk in Christ. So go ahead, Elder. We got about a few minutes. We're going to go ahead and pull this plug on this, and we're going to move forward. But we're going to let you have the last say on this, and we're going to go ahead and get on off of here. And thank the people for being with us on the line today. It's truly, it's truly a good word I heard. I mean, I really touched me. I got some things to look into when I get offline.
I hear you, Peter. The only thing I have left to say is that the Bible declares to us that if God be on our side, who can stand against us?
Mm.
Please understand, as long as you know that God is on your side, you never have to be afraid to walk alone. See, people love popularity. People love doing things that are popular. You know, people love going with the flow. You know, majority rule and things like that. But I'm here to tell you now that one with God is the majority. You got to understand that. When you have the tools of God, these spiritual tools of God, operating in your life, nothing going on around you matters, because God will cause what's called the law of environment and nothing else. You know, the law of environment speaks to everything and everyone that's around you, that spend your time around you, surround yourself things. But if you fill your environment with people that take God's word and God's spirit and deposit into you, and if you keep things of God around you, transform your environment to a godly environment, and just by way of God's spirit, your environment helps you to overcome the enemies, you know, the wiles of the enemy. But we can't have it both ways. But see, God doesn't have any weak soldiers. God is strength. God has given us everything that we need. And I'm here to tell you today, if you really want to see effective change, learn and apply and walk in and use these tools. That's our life's mission, because we are called to be a nation of ministers and priests. And don't get it twisted. You don't have to wear a title. There's no big eyes, no little you in this thing. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. We're helping one to another. We are called to stand united as the unit here to represent Christ and God's King. But we love you because the only thing that's going to unite us through is faith in this and employing the love of God. I learned a long time ago, love isn't love until you give it away. The Bible says that God is love. There's such a thing as living and walking and abiding in the absence of love, and you don't want to be there. Amen? God bless you. Back in your hands, Pastor Charles.
Amen. God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios, this great man of God. Once you get a chance to stay tuned, he's got another show he's going to be coming on with on Thursday night. It's a new show that we have here at Harvest New Life Church, and I think he's going to be the first perfect one to fit into that position. It's going to take place at this coming Thursday. If you catch your social networks, Facebook, Twitter, you'll see most of his information is coming out on this coming Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and this is going to be something that's new that we're doing, and it's been a while. It's been around for a while, but it's a complicated system. We're going to put it through the test, and I have no other man but to put through the test but this man of God. I'm not losing his test subject, but he brings such a great word to the kingdom of God. And once again, I thank you guys for joining us. And don't forget to join us on tomorrow night with Dr. J.C. Matthews out of Fort Worth, Texas. He's going to be with us. And he teaches a lot of kingdom principles also. I want you to be with us during that course of time. Of course, Friday night, we'll be back into what we call the seven laws of the kingdom. That series, we're going to try to finish it out. And today, God bless you guys. God bless you, man of God, for being with us on the station on tonight. And all of you who enjoyed us, it was a pleasure. Until then, God bless you. And y'all continue to take care of yourself. And we love you.
All right. God bless you, sir.